Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Love People, Use Things, Because the Opposite Never Works by Joshua Fields Milburn and Ryan Nicodemus is a 201-1 nonfiction book in the self-help and intentional living category. The authors, widely known as the Minimalists, use the book to clarify that minimalism is not mainly an aesthetic, a possession count, or a rejection of comfort. Its purpose is to help readers examine how material excess, debt, distraction, and social comparison can crowd out the relationships and values that make life meaningful. The book is organized around seven essential relationships, including relationships with stuff, truth, self, values, money, creativity, and people, through personal reflection, practical exercises, and examples from the broader minimalist movement. It argues that owning less is valuable only when it creates room for more deliberate living. Its central claim is simple, but demanding possessions should serve human flourishing, not become substitutes for connection, purpose, and responsibility. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, minimalism as a tool for reordering the relationship between people and possessions. The book's most recognizable idea is that modern life often reverses a healthy hierarchy. People begin to love things and use people. When the more humane order is to love people and use things, Milburn and Nicodemus treat this not as a slogan about tidying, but as a diagnosis of misplaced attachment. Possessions become problematic when they absorb attention, money, space, and identity beyond their actual usefulness. The authors therefore frame decluttering as an entry point rather than the main achievement. Removing unnecessary items matters because it exposes hidden dependencies buying to cope with anxiety, keeping objects to preserve a past identity, or maintaining a lifestyle to meet social expectations. This approach distinguishes the book from purely organizational guides. It asks why an object is present, what it costs to maintain, and whether it supports a life the owner would consciously choose. The practical implication is not that all readers should live with very few possessions, but that possessions should be evaluated by function, meaning, and opportunity cost. Minimalism becomes a method for restoring agency over attention and desire. Secondly, the Seven Relationships framework expands minimalism beyond household clutter, a major structural feature of Love People. Use Things is its use of seven relationship stuff: truth, self, values, money, creativity, and people. This framework broadens minimalism from a domestic practice into a wider form of self-examination. The relationship with stuff is the visible layer, but the authors argue that material excess often reflects deeper confusion about identity, priorities, and emotional needs. The relationship with truth asks readers to confront evasions and self-justifications that keep unhealthy patterns intact. The relationship with self involves examining habits, health, and inner narratives, rather than treating minimalism as external performance. Values and money are paired with special force because spending habits often reveal commitments more honestly than stated ideals. What creativity and people then move the discussion from subtraction to contribution, what becomes possible when a person is less burdened by distraction and obligation. This structure gives the book coherence and prevents it from becoming a simple decluttering manual. Each relationship functions as a lens for asking whether everyday choices are aligned with a meaningful life rather than merely convenient consumption. Thirdly, consumer culture is presented as a source of debt, distraction, and false identity. Milburn and Nicodemus critique consumer culture by focusing on its everyday psychological effects rather than on abstract economics alone. The book argues that people are encouraged to treat acquisition as a solution to dissatisfaction, status anxiety, boredom, and insecurity. This pattern can create debt and clutter, but its deeper cost is that it trains people to outsource identity to brands, homes, devices, and visible lifestyle markers. The authors connect this to money because financial choices are not neutral. Recurring purchases, storage costs, subscriptions, and debt obligations can limit freedom and intensify stress. Their position is not that spending is inherently wrong, but that unconscious spending often commits future time and labor to things that provide little lasting value. By asking readers to compare purchases with values, the book turns money into a diagnostic tool. A budget, in this view, is not just a restriction, but a record of priorities. This critique is accessible because it does not require readers to reject modern life. Instead, it asks them to notice when consumption has stopped serving practical needs and started managing emotional discomfort or social comparison. Fourthly, personal honesty and creativity are treated as outcomes of a less crowded life. The book links minimalism to truth, self-understanding, and creativity in a way that gives it more psychological depth than a typical simplicity guide. The author suggests that clutter is not only physical, it can include false stories, avoided decisions, inherited expectations, and commitments maintained out of fear. personal honesty matters because a simplified life cannot be built on inaccurate assumptions about what brings satisfaction or why certain habits persist. This is where the book's reflective exercises and chapter-end prompts become important. They encourage readers to examine motives rather than simply remove objects. Creativity is also presented as a beneficiary of simplification. When time, attention, and emotional energy are no longer consumed by managing excess, there is more room for making, learning, service, and meaningful work. In Idra, the authors do not reduce creativity to professional art. They treat it as a human capacity to contribute and engage deliberately. This connection is persuasive because it explains why getting rid of things can feel insufficient by itself. The point is to clear enough space, internally and externally, to act from chosen values instead of accumulated pressure. Lastly, relationships with people are the final test of whether minimalism is useful. Although the book discusses possessions extensively, its endpoint is relational. Noburn and Nicodemus argue that minimalism succeeds only if it improves a person's capacity to be present, generous, honest, and connected. This focus prevents the philosophy from becoming a private optimization project or a competitive display of owning little. The title's contrast between loving people and using things establishes a moral priority: objects should support relationships, not replace them or become reasons to neglect them. The authors also recognize that excess can appear in social life through busyness, digital distraction, shallow approval seeking, and obligations that crowd out deeper connection. Their solution is not isolation but intentionality. Readers are encouraged to notice which commitments nourish trust and contribution, and which merely maintain appearances. This is also where the book's limitations become visible. Readers already familiar with the minimalists may find some ideas familiar, and the advice is more introductory than technical. Even so, the relational emphasis is a useful corrective to minimalist content that focuses mainly on interiors, wardrobes, or productivity. The book measures simplicity by human consequences. In conclusion, Love People, Use Things is best suited for readers who feel burdened by clutter, consumer debt, overstimulation, or a sense that their external life no longer matches their priorities. It will be especially useful for people new to minimalism, because it explains the philosophy in plain terms and connects it to recognizable problems such as distraction, status comparison, emotional spending, and neglected relationships. Readers looking for advanced systems for organizing a home may find it less detailed than practical decluttering manuals. And longtime followers of the minimalists may encounter familiar themes. Its value lies elsewhere. It treats minimalism as a relational and ethical framework rather than a design style. Compared with many books in the simplicity genre, it stands out by organizing the discussion around seven relationships and by insisting that the goal of less is not emptiness, but better alignment with truth, values, creativity, money, and people. The practical benefit is a clearer method for evaluating what deserves space in one's home, calendar, budget, and attention. The intellectual benefit is a broader understanding of consumption as a pattern that shapes identity and social life. The book's strongest contribution is its insistence that possessions are secondary tools, while human connection and meaningful contribution are the real measures of a well-lived life. If you would like to support Joshua Fields Milburn, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.